since the beginning of the season, we've been talking about prayer, and congratulations, you've made it to the end of the series. I know it's been a struggle for some of us, but we've made it to the end. This is the final week of the prayer series, and I wanted to take a look at night prayers, evening prayers. If any of you still have, I know I gave out 1 week a copy of the prayer routine that I go through, sent it out online this week as well, but I want to focus on what I do in the evenings, because my whole goal with this series has been to teach you how to pray, and I thought part of the way to do that is just tell you what I do. And so I want to look at evening prayers, because they're a very different beast than morning prayers, right? Morning prayers, you start off, the day's fresh, feels good, there's promise and potential, but the night is very different. Day's done, we're tired. And as with our mornings, there are different ways to end our day. Some are perhaps healthier than others. I don't know if you've ever had this experience. I hate when this happens, but if you've ever been watching TV at night and for some reason in your brain you convince yourself that you're tired, so maybe you should lie down on the couch to watch TV. That's a recipe for disaster. Like, you know what, I should go to bed. No, I'm going to keep watching. And then you wake up at 3 in the morning like, oh, drool on your face. Oh my goodness. That wasn't a good way to end the day. Or sometimes we end our days just numbed and disconnected. My family, the only TV show we can all really agree on is Survivor, and it's going on this fall, and my family went ahead without me, so this week I had 3 episodes to catch up on. One of them was 2 hours long, and I got through these episodes of Survivor. I'm like, what? That was a weird evening to just spend my time with Jeff Probst in this weird little world. I don't know. Sometimes in the evening, we're numb and disconnected. We go to TV or things like that just because we want to check out from our days. And I tend to find that if I'm not careful, my days can end up very, again, not a healthy way to end a day. And for me, the question of whether to pray or not actually starts with deeper questions like these. Do I want to be who I truly am? Do I want to grow in life? Do I want to be better at being me? There's no dress rehearsal in life, the Tragically Hip remind us. So do I want to play myself well? Do I want to go through life having lived an unexamined life? Or do I want to invest my days with meaning and significance? And my guess is most of us would say yes to those questions. And so for me, prayer is simply a tool to saying yes to those questions. And so as we look at evening prayers, I want to hone in on 3 aspects. If you have the handout that I gave you a few weeks ago, there's a whole little liturgy there. But I want to hone in on 3 areas that are significant to me. Prayer of examine, evening prayer, and prayer before sleep. I want to start with the prayer of examine, because this for me has been perhaps the richest method of prayer I have used in the past decade. I've used it consistently on and off again, but I truly think it's one of the best forms of prayer, particularly those looking to start prayer or reintroduce themselves to prayer. And it's quite simply this. It's about noticing specifically where God is already present in our lives. And through that, it has a way of infusing our days with greater meaning. Let me illustrate. If you would do me a favor, could we all just say this line together? Can we just say this line together? Hang with me. There's a point to this. Here we go. I am here in this room with all of you at Nexus today. Now, there's one way of going about and just saying a line like that, but break it down and think about it. I am here. Consider the course of your life. Think about your upbringing, the most significant events of your life. Call those to mind right now. How have you come to be who you are? And how does your story affect who you are? How did you end up here this morning? Now look around this room for a moment. Notice the space you're occupying. Here we are in the Conrad Center, a theater. Do you know it was built in 2003 to be a home for the arts here in Kitchener? A place where the citizens of Kitchener could come and enjoy the arts. And so think about it. In this room we're in together right now, strangers have come and gathered to see the arts. They've laughed together. They've cried together. In this room, some young teenager took the stage for the very first time, fell in love with the arts. In this room, people have been moved by beautiful music, stories that stir their hearts. In this room, people come to enjoy their Friday night out. And in this room, artists and playwrights have taken the risk of exposing their work to the world. And it all happens right here. And now look around the room if you want. It might be a little awkward, but take a look around at everybody's faces. Consider who they are. Consider the relationships you have in this room. Every single face here has a unique story of what brought them here today. Some of you are here this morning because you're curious about this Nexus thing. Some of you are here out of hurt and you're just barely holding on to faith. Some of you are here because you have relationships with other people in the room. Some of you almost didn't make it today, did you? Every single person in this room has a complex story, and somehow you are seated with them. And here you are at Nexus. What is Nexus to you? I mean, why did you come? What are you hoping to find or encounter or experience this morning? Consider your day so far. What do you got going on? What have you achieved today? What do you hope to achieve today? Bring the thought of your day into your mind right now. What's it been like? What's the plans for the rest of the day? How do you feel? Now, call to mind all of those things you've been thinking about. Your life, this room, one another, this day. Life to this point, the history and purpose of this building, the history and stories of others around you, along with what Nexus is, bring them all together in this moment and say these words again with me. I am here in this room with all of you at Nexus today. Now, chances are, it was infused with a little more meaning the second time, and I got this exercise from my OAC drama teacher, Mr. Ron. Towering man. And what he liked to tell us in drama class is that there's a big difference between going through the motions of saying your lines as an actor, and then there's noticing and being present. And it makes all the difference in how you play your role, or in this case, how you look at your day. Because it's easy to spit off that line. Here I am in this room with all of you at Nexus today. But when you start to bring together the history, think about this room yourselves, it's like, wow, I am here. And for some of us, that wasn't easy, in this room with all of you. An initial bland sentence can be invested with new meaning. And Mr. Ron, this towering guy, would hammer that home to us. The interesting thing is he would actually take half an hour to do this exercise with us. Say this, and then sit down with a piece of paper and track out all the big events in your life. Think about what brought you to this classroom today. It would take about half an hour, so I shortened it up. And it's magical how when you stop and think about where you are, being present, how it radically shifts the nature of your day. You know, like, how does this relate to prayer? Well, sometimes I think we glide through prayer rather glibly, not realizing how incredibly meaningful, profound, sacred it is. And so prayer itself, like this exercise, is about noticing, specifically noticing where God is already active in our lives. And sometimes prayer is that, just simply about noticing when, where, how you are already, how God is already with you. In the prayer of examine, it started with St. Ignatius, founder of the Jesuits. And in his spiritual exercise, he calls this the prayer of the examination of the conscience. And the purpose, the emphasis, is simply to see where God is present. Purpose is to help us see where God is affecting and moving us. It's essentially a review of our day in God's presence. And there's five steps, pretty easy. One, presence. Two, gratitude. Three, review. Four, sorrow. Five, grace. We want to go through those five because it doesn't need to be formulaic, but that's how it goes. Presence. And what St. Ignatius says is this: prayer begins when we place ourselves in God's presence in a conscious way. And we're always, of course, in God's presence, but it's easy to forget this. And so what he suggests is that you actually spend a few moments imagining God is looking at you. So if you pray on this stool, you pray in bed, you pray on a chair, before you pray, you actually stand back and look at the place where you're going to pray. Gaze upon it. Remember that God is seeing you. Put yourself into God's presence. I am here in this room, in this chair, in this bed, wherever I'm praying with you, God, in prayer. And then it simply follows a review of our days. It can take 5 minutes, 15, 20. I tend to fall asleep doing this a lot because I do it in bed. So, you know, sometimes you make it through, sometimes you don't. But I liken it to going through your photos. And when you go through your photos on your phone, there's a difference between when you scroll through them and when you're showing them to someone else. It's like going through photos on your phone and slowly showing them to another person. And if you're under, say, 30, 25 here, I'm about to blow your mind, okay? Because there used to be a thing we did back in the day. It doesn't happen anymore. But before social media days, when someone went on a trip and came home, we did this thing where they invited you over for a Friday night, and the whole evening was looking at their photos. That's a thing that we did. Some of you are like, did that really happen? Yeah, you might have forgotten. You tried to block it out of your mind. Slideshow, yes. And for those of us today, it's like, is there anything worse than going through? So, like, thank goodness for Facebook. You went on a trip, stop bragging about it, just throw it up on Facebook. I'll look at it when I have time. But I remember the last time this happened was in the early 2000s, right before social media, and my brother's like, come on over Friday night. He had just gone to San Francisco, and we spent 2 hours going through his photos. It was brutal. So there's me at Alcatraz. Yeah, I can see that's Alcatraz. This guy was interesting. I'm like, I don't care. But we did. This was like entertainment back before social media. Friday night, looking at photos, people, their vacations, their trips. This is the idea with the prayer of examine. You're reviewing your day in the presence of God, kind of like, hey, I'm going through my photos. Taking God through the photos, the memories of your day. So where do you start? According to St. Ignatius, we always start with gratitude. And Ignatius asks us to consider God as the ground of being. God is the source and sustainer of all that is good in our world. And when we realize that, it's easier to approach gratitude. Consider these scriptures. All things came to be through him, and without him came not to be a single thing that has come to be. 1 Corinthians, for there is one God, the Father, out of whom come all things, and we for him, and one Lord, Jesus the Anointed, through whom come all things. Colossians, in him we were created, all things in the heavens and on earth, the visible as well as the invisible. All things were created through him and for him, and he's before all things, and all things hold together in him. Acts, God is not far from any one of us, for in him we live and move and are. James, every good act of giving and every perfect gift is from above, descending from the Father of the luminaries, with whom there is no alternation or shadow of change. Here is where Ignatius starts, and I've tried to do this as well, going through the prayer of examine, gratitude. Because if God is the ground of all being, if God is the one in whom we live and move and have our being, if God is the giver of all good and perfect gifts, then anything in our days that bring us life, energy, vitality, those are from God. And so we start our day with gratitude, review of those gifts. Gratitude is at the heart of the prayer of examine. In fact, Ignatius went on to say, he termed ingratitude as the most abominable of sins. Not recognizing God as the source of all that is good. But he had other practical reasons for reviewing our day, starting with gratitude. Why? First, it combats our tendency to focus on the negative. Because what can happen is we review our days and go, I messed up there. Oh, that wasn't good. Oh, that moment really stunk. So often it's easy to review our days and have it turn into, hey, well, here's what went wrong. But second, starting with the positives goes against our propensity to problem solve, right? We all want to solve our problems. So here's a problem I'm having in life. How do I solve this? So he starts with gratitude. Start with maybe asking God, show me. What should I be grateful for? And if it's some great news, if you just got a new job, right, that's not going to be hard to call to mind. We start to realize when we go through this exercise the profound ways that God is working in our lives. I mean, consider this question. How does God show up in our lives? I think one of the big difficulties with prayer is that many of us tend to assume or are expecting that if God doesn't speak to us in an audible voice that probably sounds somewhat like Morgan Freeman, that God hasn't shown up in our lives in a day. And it doesn't help that we often hear from well-meaning folk, God talked very plainly to me. It's like, well, God, you had that experience. But so many of us, I would say, we're looking in the wrong places. How come I don't hear a voice? How come I don't have God show up in a way that I cannot deny? All it takes is, I think, a slight shift in how we think of God to begin to see God's presence everywhere in our lives. So Ignatius starts here. Start with gratitude. Because if God is the ground of all being, if God's the one in whom we live and move and have our being, if God is the giver of everything that is good and perfect, then anything that gives me life, vitality, energy, is God active in my day. I thought I would get Kristen some flowers this week because my ankle's been out. And she's been doing everything because I haven't been able to walk. So she's been doing everything around the house, and I was starting to pick up vibes. Just patience running a little thin. So I bought her some flowers, and I'm on the phone, and I forgot completely that you have to sign something on the card. Yeah, that feels a little personal. So, like, what do you want to put on the card? I was like, said, can you write, thanks for everything? And she was like, that's it? I'm like, yes, that's it. So Kristen got the flowers, she brought them home, thank you, that's wonderful, but thanks for everything, really? Just a little impersonal there, but I'm like, I don't know, but she said, you know what, they do smell really nice. So I went over and, oh, the smell of flowers. That's a good smell. There's a way of going through our days and going, ah, but then there's a way of going through our days that goes, ah, there you are, God. Or fall colors. My goodness. I just want to go for a drive. Don't you want to go for a drive? I just want to drive. Look at the fall colors. And there's two ways of going through life. Well, it happens every year that the trees die or their leaves do, and so it just happens. Or, like, my God, how beautiful. Or friend who makes you laugh. A scene in a TV show, a movie that moves you. Well, that's just what movies do. Or is that God showing up in our lives? Ever reading a book and you come across a line and you're like, that's totally changing the way I see things. Gift from God. Anything that gives you joy. Kids, dog making you laugh, whatever it is. Recognizing gratitude moments in our life, that's the heart of the examine. We start here, the obvious and notable signs of life and vitality in our days. Maybe a friend who teased you, a co-worker gave you a compliment, really meant something to you. Whatever it is, we start going through our days by recognizing the gifts, gratitude. And then we get a bit more methodical. Third part, the review. This constitutes the bulk of your prayer. It's simply going through your day, starting at the beginning. The aim is to notice moments when God was active in your life, or maybe an invitation came to you, some sort of sign of God's presence. Simply recall the day. I like to think about it this way. I like to keep Seinfeld in mind, because I believe Seinfeld's the greatest show ever. And the premise of the show was what? In our days, nothing happens. Right? George is pitching his show to the NBC executives, and he's like, what's the show about? Nothing. You get up, you go to the bank, you eat breakfast, that's the whole show. It's about nothing. And yet, what we all know is that a lot happens within the nothingness of our days, right? Today was a typical day, nothing really significant happened. Ah, but there's the rub. We're looking for signs of God in our day. How so? I'll give you a few examples from my life, my week. This week, a fellow pastor friend asked me if he could take a look at a sermon that I had done a couple months ago. He was speaking on something similar and wanted to see my sermon. And I didn't say no, I just ignored it and changed the subject because in my head I was like, do your own work. I'm not giving you my stuff. Typical thing to happen in a day. might just think nothing of it and move on. But as I go through the examine process, I think, wait a second. Did I miss an invitation to be generous there? I need to think about that. Maybe I'm you know, a little smog, a little hoarding. Maybe I missed an opportunity to be generous there. Similar stuff happens to us all day, every day. You pass that person on the street asking for money. Do you give it to them? Do you not? We can see those moments as an invitation. Did we respond to God's invite to be generous? Or you hear, oh man, somebody's sick. Somebody's sick. Maybe they could use a meal dropped off to their home. Maybe we respond to that invitation to be generous, or we don't. And the goal isn't to feel guilty about the choices we make in life. It's about noticing. Noticing. There was an invitation there, and I either took it or I didn't. Did I recognize it in the moment? Or we might go through our day and recognize, wow, my foot and ankle feels better. I'm grateful for the gift of health. Or we might think, wow, my foot hurts. Maybe I see that as an invitation to treat my body better. Or maybe you're going through your day and you get a text from a friend, like I did this week. Let's call this friend, I don't know, Glenn. So this Glenn friend of mine texts me, playfully accusing me of faking my recent ankle injury and wanting me to bring x-rays so he can examine them. Now, something like that could happen during your day, and you might think very little of it, or you might look at a text like that and go, my goodness, that made me laugh. Boy, it's good to have friends who make you laugh. That's a gift. And here's the thing. If we are less reflective, we can go through our days and never think about those things and then go, why does God never show up in my life? But when we do start to reflect with the premise that God is the giver of all good and perfect things, we go, ah, but maybe God has been active in my life far more than I think. Because if we look for God via an audible voice or an inexplicable miracle, I'm inclined to think our search may never end. But if we see God as the author, sustainer of all that is good, then God is active in ways we've only begun to imagine. And so prayer of examine, it simply coaches us. Review your day. Take 5 minutes. Next step is sorrow. It's looking at anything you've done that was selfish or sinful during the day. And I know some people recoil at this step. See it as, here we go. Stereotypical example of the way religion forces unnecessary guilt on people, causing them to feel bad about themselves. But I don't know about you. I'm human. I'm imperfect. I think it's healthy to recognize our failings. Jim Manning says this, sin hobbles our relationship with God, not because it's a black mark in a book kept by a divine scorekeeper, but because the lies, illusions, self-serving excuses that cloud our minds make us less able to give and receive love. Looking at our sins and faults allows us to take responsibility for them. We can possess them. They no longer possess us. We become more and more able to give our whole selves to God and become the people God created us to be. If you earnestly review and reflect on your day, you will inevitably fall on some actions that you regret. And James Keenan, he reminds us in the Gospels that Jesus never castigates people who are actually trying. He saves his sort of judgment for those who just don't bother to try. So a good question to ask is, where have I bothered to love today? Where have I failed today? I had this week, it happened because I kind of hate my dog, and it ripped the front cover off my Bible, and I was livid. And it's just always, man, it's such a pain, this thing. And it ripped the cover off my, that might not be a big deal to you. I was very, very annoyed. And I said to Zoe, I'm selling the dog. And she started crying. Oh, please don't die. I love the dog so much. I'm like, oh. In my head, I was never actually going to sell the dog. But that moment, I wanted her to know, this thing's a pain to me. And it's only because of you that I got it. And so in prayer, you go, might have been a different way to handle that moment. Maybe next time we deal with our frustration on our own. Maybe we don't tell our kids we're selling the dog. It's little things like that, because it's very easy to go through a day and be like, okay, that was probably kind of silly. Oh, well. But this portion, it simply calls us to reflect on our own imperfections, our flaws, our sins, and how we're in need of God's grace. And that brings us to the final step, grace. It simply ends with asking for God's help tomorrow. I've gone through my day. Here's some beautiful things. I recognize you at work in my life. I've also messed up a few places. Help me not to tell my children I'm going to sell the dog. And so the prayer of examine, it begins with the recognition that God gives us grace throughout our day, and it ends with our reminder of our need for God's grace. And that's it in five easy steps. And on most nights, this is what I attempt to do. I can testify in my own life that this has been a rich experience for me. I know it's anecdotal, but it makes a big difference. And what it does is it starts to shift us away from what I would call functional atheism. It shifts us away from thinking that God never speaks or acts or ever does anything. He's just kind of sitting over there. It helps us see the myriad ways God is inviting us into generosity and love. And so, as Socrates would say, an unexamined life is not worth living. This is one way to examine our lives, our days. It doesn't mean we can't watch Netflix. It doesn't mean we can't chill out at the end of the night. It simply means maybe we could end our days with a review. And yet, I'd be reluctant to say that's what I try to do, and yet those are the typical evenings. But then there are other nights. There are other evenings that are anything but typical. And there's the kind of nights when a review of our day isn't enough to calm the anxieties and storms running through our heads. There's nights where we toss and we turn and there's nothing that can seem to free us from the inner turmoils we experience. Do you know the kind of evening I'm talking about? And for me, I need prayers for those nights as well. I need prayers that speak to restless, sleepless nights. I'm going to ask the band to come in a second, play a song for you, but I said I would share a story about a part of this whole book thing for me. I finished and I had two meetings with publishers, and I got on the first Zoom call, and they said to me, "We really like the idea of your book, and we've gone through your book proposal. It sounds good. We'd like to do something with it, but first we need you to cut it in half. 50,000 words. And I said, "I don't know if that's possible." And they said, "Well, then it may not be possible for us to publish your book." And then I got on a call with another publisher, and they said, "Listen, we're not really interested in you being John Calvin and releasing your Institutes of the Christian Religion here. We're looking for a book no longer than 30,000 words. And I said, "But that's like a pamphlet." And they said, "Well, books don't sell easy, and nobody's going to read 100,000 words, so get back to us when it's down to 30,000. And Kristen got home. She said, "You look pale." And I said, "Probably because I'm wondering if I've just wasted the past 4 years of my life writing this thing." And that night in bed, just sitting there, what have I done? What have I done? This was so stupid to even start this process. There's nights like that where it's just like I can't fall asleep. Or this week, Tuesday night, I thought I had a meeting, and then I didn't, so I had an evening free. And I sat down, I turned on CNN, and they were doing a special on Putin and Biden's most recent interview. And so I thought, this ought to be interesting. And then I heard words like, "We're probably the closest we've ever been to nuclear war since the Cuban Missile Crisis." And the interview went on, and I sat there going, I brought kids into this world. This place is a hellhole. And what have I done? And you go to bed on nights like that and you think, I can't sleep. So many nights for all of us, I think, there are things that keep us up at night. This song is a great reflection of that. Thank you for that. Such a rich song about those restless nights. Can't find sleep. And I need prayers for that. And so there's two prayers that I end with every night. And for me, they're about trying to keep the restless, anxious, exhausting burdens of the day, keep away the fear and despair, humiliations and failures. I need prayers that address that. And so my prayer routine has two prayers at the end of the night. And some nights I go through them, they mean very little. My day's been fine, I shoot through them. But other nights, they mean the world to me. And when I'm exhausted and overwhelmed by the evil and suffering of our world, I turn to this simple prayer before I head to sleep. Keep watch, dear Lord, with those who work or watch or weep this night, and give your angels charge over those who sleep. Tend the sick, Lord Christ. Give rest to the weary. Bless the dying. Soothe the suffering. Pity the afflicted. Shield the joyous, and all for your love's sake. Amen. And I tend to sometimes whisper to God, I'm punching out for the day, God. As much as I'd like to believe my stress and worry can change the world, it can't, and so I have to put it to bed. I'm punching out at the end of the day. My shift of worrying and carrying the burdens of suffering in this world, it's done. I'm surrendering those to you as I sleep. And then on the restless nights when I'm stressed, humiliated, or have failed, I close with this before bed, and I actually went searching for it because Glenn used to have a reading about how sleep can stitch us together. It stuck with me over the years, and this prayer sort of echoes that sentiment, and it simply says this: God of rest and restoration, as I lay me down to sleep, relax the tension of my body, calm the restlessness of my mind, still the thoughts which worry and perplex me. Help me to rest myself and all my problems in your strong and loving arms. Let your spirit speak to my mind and heart while I'm asleep, so that when I wake up in the morning, I may find that I've received in the nighttime light for my way, strength for my tasks, peace for my worries, forgiveness for my sins. Grant me sleep tonight and power tomorrow to live. Does it always work? No. But there's something about the end of the night surrendering, handing our worries, our concerns, our failures, humiliations, just handing that over to God. And that's it. That's the end of our prayer series. Examine for me has been a way to locate God, the way God is present in my life. It works against my tendency to view my life as a series of problems to solve, obstacles to overcome. It allows me to see patterns in my life, equips me to be able to better see God in my days. And my evening prayer and prayer before sleep are prayers of surrender, giving my anxieties, fears, doubts, failures over to God. And that's it. And again, for what it's worth, for me, it makes a huge difference. I absolutely notice days when I don't pray. And here's the thing. My doubts and questions around the mystery of prayer, they haven't gone anywhere. They're still there. But without a question, it's made a difference. So take that for what it's worth. 6 weeks ago, I told you that Andrew Root challenged me and other pastors to teach people to pray. In the past 6 weeks, I've done what I can to look at the mystery questions of prayer, showcase for you why I think prayer is worth something. And what I try to do in my own life, take what works, leave the rest behind, but here's my invitation, one final time, try it. Don't examine it, don't question it, don't assess it until January 1st. Just, I'm going through the motions, I don't know, just try it. For the next 2.5 months, see what happens. This is me inviting you into that, and my question is, what do you have to lose? So you get to January and say, I knew it. Prayer does nothing. Then fine. Leave it. What do you have to lose? What do you have to gain? That is it for now. We've got 2 weeks in between starting the A Path Called Compelling series. For this morning, it seems appropriate to perhaps end on a note of prayer. So I'm actually going to ask Chris to come and end our morning with a prayer for us. Thank you, Chris.